Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Kama Daf Pei Daled. We are on Pei Gimel Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines off the bottom of the Amud. So, if one injures another fellow, the Pasuk says, Ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye, which sounds very literal. But the Gemara, with the power of Torah Sheba'al Peh, expounded upon the true meaning of these words, doesn't mean literally. You're meant to remove the eye of the perpetrator. Rather, it triggers monetary liability. He's responsible to compensate the victim for his injury. How do we know this is true? So the Gemara today will present many, many sources presented by many Tanoim in various brisos regarding the exact meaning of the Pesukim. Says the Gemara Tanya, so first of all we have Rabbi Distoy Ben Yehuda. He has a brisa like this. Rabbi Distoy Ben Yehuda Omer, Ayin tachas ayin, which sounds literal, eye for an eye. No, mamain. It's alluding to monetary payment. You have to compensate the victim for the value of his eye. Atur ayin mamain. So you're suggesting it means mamain. Who says? Maybe literally, the ayin of the attacker is meant to be removed. Amr's, the response is like this. It's not really practical. Why? So imagine the attacker's eye is a large size eye. Ve'einoi shal zeketana. And the other way around. Let's say the victim's eye is large. Va'ena shazaktan, on the attacker's eye is rather small. So you can never get a fair matchup. Heichani kairei be'ayin tachas ayin. So you can't have an exact formula of an eye for an eye. It's never going to be exact. Chitamis, so perhaps you'll say, okay, that doesn't prove that it's always going to be monetary payment rather than removing his eye. Chitamis, perhaps I'll say, okay, in this case, it's not practical. Kol kiyai shokim mine mamayna. So in this type of case, in this type of situation where it's an uneven equation, yeah, you're right. Shakal minema mina will accept payment. But when you can actually fulfill the literal meaning of ayin tachas ayin, if it's exactly the same nature, then you would take the eye for the eye. So the more you can't suggest that we have different types of formulas for different situations, because it's meant to be uniform, universally uniform. Hatayra amra mishpat echad yelachem. It's one way to approach all these liabilities. Mishpat hashav v'lekulchem. We have one single formula applying to all situations. Not here it's the eye, here it's payment. So the only way that it can work out universally is if it's always going to be payment. Amri said the question was no. My kushya, what's the question? Dilma nahayra shakal minei, nahayra shakal rachmana, nishkal minei. You're asking about, uneven, eye size. That's not how it works. It's eyesight that we're speaking about. Dilma nahayra shakal minei. The fact is, he eliminated his eyesight, right? And that's what we do to him. Nahayra amrachmana. Torah says, the actual eyesight, nishkal minei, will take away from the attacker. Unrelated to, eye size. Dilatemi hachi, because otherwise, you'll run into another issue regarding a murderer. Right? Katan shaharagas agadol. Imagine a small-sized man, a midget. He kills a big person, physically big person. Or v'gadol shaharagas akatan. Or a large man struck down a small man. What happens? We put the attacker to death, right? It's chayv misa. How could we? It's not fair. It's not an equal equation. How do we kill him? Right? Hatoyra Amra. So there it's not going to work out. Because Torah says nefesh tachas nefesh, right? So we take the attacker's life. Because he took the victim's life. But if they're not, you know, same size, not the same, how could you do that? So you'll tell me, well, okay, in that case, when it's unequal, we won't apply Misa. Only when it's exactly equal and fair, but otherwise we won't. That's not a, it's not an option. Torah says, all cases are treated equally. HaTorah Amra Mishpat Echad Yelachem. Right? Mishpat Hashav L'Kulchem. Elas, you must say that it's not about body size. Neshama Shachul Minei, Neshama Amrachman Mishkul Minei. He took away this person's life, so we take away his life. We don't look at the, you know, physical properties of the person. We look at the, you know, the spirit, the life. Hachanami, same thing with the eyesight. Nehira Shachul Minei, he took away the function, the actual eyesight, and therefore we do likewise to him. Nehira Amrachmano, Torah says, Nishkol Minei, we take away his eye function. So perhaps that's a very simple formula, and even if it's literal, ayin tachas ayin, it will make sense. So we can't really prove anything from here. Tanya Yidach, we have a different source. Comes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he says like this. Omer, he says, ayin tachas ayin mamon. An eye for eye doesn't mean an eye for eye literally, it means he has to pay up. Ata Omer mamon, you're saying it's mamon. Ayinoy el ayin mamish, maybe it means literally is eye. It can't be. Harei shehaya suma. Suppose the attacker himself was already blind, Visima, and he blinded the other fellow. Or Kiteya, he was missing his arm, Vikita, and he did the same to the victim. Chigir, he was already lacking in his walking function, he was limping. Vichigir, he did the same to the other person. So in this case, you cannot respond in kind, he has nothing to give, right? Heichani mekayim bozeh ein tachas ein. You can't apply ayin tachas ayin to the letter, literally, because he has no eye to give. He's blind to begin with. And once again, we run into that same issue because the Torah says, we treat all cases equally. So, if this literal approach will not work in this case, it's not going to be mishpat hashav l'kulchem. So apparently, it's all about payment, which can apply in every case. Amri. So the response was, who says? Umay kushi, what's the kash? Dilma hechad efsha efsha. Hechad ala efsha la efsha. Upatrin le. You know, this whole point of that there has to be an equal judgment and a universal formula. So, you cannot say sometimes it's literal, sometimes it's payment. You know what? Fine. When you can do it literally, maybe it means literal. When you can do it, fine. Otherwise, he's off the hook. He's potter. Fine. We don't do anything. Deal with him and hachem, because otherwise, you're always going to run to this type of issue. Because sometimes you cannot punish. Treifa shaharag is hashalim. Imagine a person who has an internal, a critical wound. He's slated, to die in the near future. And he kills a regular, healthy person. We're stuck. We can't kill him. You know why? Mavdinle, what are we going to do to him? Rashi explains. Because even if the murder was reported by Edom, we can't accept their testimony, because the halacha is that in order to deem the testimony of witnesses as valid testimony, it needs to be reported by Edom who have the potential to become Edom Zoymimin. Theoretically, if somebody would come and disprove their testimony and undo their whole report by presenting that they were not even present at that time, and in that location, that makes them Edom Zoymimin, and we do to them as they have attempted to impose on this innocent person. In this case, it would be Misa, because they were trying to get him killed. But if they were doing it to a Treifa, who in any case is considered halachically like he's not considered a fully alive person. A person kills a Treifa, he doesn't get Misa. So the Edom who tried to kill him are not going to get Misa either. So this concept of responding in kind and imposing on the Edom Zemimin what they attempted on to impose on this person, which is death, it wouldn't apply in this case. So the whole Edus doesn't work, right? In order for an Ed to be valid, he has to have the potential, the capability of becoming an Ed Zemimin with all its consequences, which doesn't apply by a Treifa. So if a Treifa kills a person, you can't accept the test. You can't believe the Edom who are reporting the story. So bottom line is, he'll get off the hook. He'll be potter. We can't do anything to him. So clearly, in some cases, the attacker gets off the hook. Ella heichad efsher efsher. Oh, so apparently, we're realistic. We're practical. When we can do something, we do something. Otherwise, not. Heichad lo efsher lo efsher. Opportunity is exempt. So basically, we disproved our entire proof, attempting to substantiate this halacha that ayin tachas ayin means payment. Here comes another source. Tevei Rabbi Shmuel Tan, Amakor, the pasuk says. Pasuk begins by saying, "Look, you attacked your friend. Shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, right? Kasher yitein mum ba'adam, just like he inflicted a mum, an injury upon this fellow. Kein yinosen boy, likewise, will be applied to him. Kein yinosen boy." Sounds like you're giving, you're handing it. Nasina. Ve'ein nasina ala mamain. It's referring to monetary payment, money which you hand over. Elamiata, if that's the case, then nasina always means monetary transfer. Kashar yitin mumba adam. So when the pasuk says, well, kashar yitin mumba adam, right? Then it says kein nasan bay. Now, the first mention of yitin is going on an actual injury, an attack. Kasher yitin mum ba'adam. Hachanami de mamenu. Over there also means he gave him money. No, of course he attacked him. So here as well, kein yosem boy, maybe means the same. That we're going to, respond in kind. We're going to injure you. Amri d'verabi shmol. So the answer is very shmol, who presented the source, kroy yisera darshi. Their explanation is based on an extra sort of a seemingly unnecessary phrase in the pasuk. That's what the drasha is based on. Michti, ksiv ish ki yitein mum ba'amitai. The pasuk already says, if a person inflicts injury, kasher asa ken yasa lai, just as he did, will be done to him. Ken yinasen boi lamali. Why did the Torah add ken yinasen boi? Shema min amamin. Apparently, to add this point, that it's about payment. So now, kasher yitin mum ba'adam amali. Let's go back to the other pasuk. If nesina always means something that you can hand over money, so kasher yitin mum ba'adam sounds a bit like, why is the pasuk referred to a physical attack as yitin? You're right, amali. Either the boy, the michtav, ken nasan boy. Torah used symmetrical language because it was about to say ken nasan boy that. He's going to be required to pay compensation. Kasab Nami, Torah chose a similar language when it said Kasher Yitin Mum Ba'adam, and of course it means two different things. Yitin Mum Ba'adam means a physical attack. Kein Nosan Bay means monetary obligation. Devei Rabbi Chiya Tana, here comes another source. Amakro Yad B'Yad. So, once again, these are psukim regarding injuries and punishments. So actually it's going on the Edom Zoymimin, like we mentioned before. So we're going to apply to them just as they had intended and plotted on imposing on this innocent person. And the pasuk goes through a listing of Shein B'Shein, Yad B'Yad, Regel B'Regel. So they go through everything that they try to do. Yad B'Yad means Davar Hanitain, Hanita Miyad Liyad, Maniu Momin. It means something that you hand over payment. Ela Miyad Regel B'Regel Nami, Hochiu. Well, the same pasuk mentions Regel B'Regel. So, two ways to learn the pasuk. We apply physical damage to the Edom Zayman, just like they are intended on doing to this fellow, Yad B'Yad. And regal regal means the same thing. We injure their regal in exchange for this regal. Well, you tell me Yad B'Yad means something that you hand over, so it means that it means monetary payment. Right? So let's say they testified that Reuven chopped off Shimon's hand, they have to pay for it. Right, because they had, they were attempting to have Reuven have to pay for it. So now they have to pay for it. So apparently, it's all about monetary payment. But when it says regal beregal, you don't hand money with your foot. So over there, it sounds more literal. Elamata regal beregal hachinami. Over there also means handing over money. So just like over there, perhaps it doesn't mean monetarily here as well. Says the Gemara, no, Amri Dver B'chia, Kroy Yisera Kadarshis. The answer is that Dver B'chia, the source of this drasha, weren't based on, you know, the actual, you know, explanation of the translation of the words. It was just because it was an extra pasuk. That extra pasuk triggered this new explanation. Michti, let's take a close look. Ksiv, the pasuk already gives you this general umbrella, this general formula. Okay, whatever the Eden Zemin plotted, we do to them. Finished. Isa gadaitach mamish. So, if it's all about, you know, literal meanings, yad biyad lamali. Why does the Torah have to stipulate yad biyad, regel b'regel? We understand. Whatever they try to inflict on this person by having, you know, bezen chop of his arm because he did it to his friend, right? That's the way we work. So, that's it. Just state briefly. We do to the Eidim Zemimin what they intended to do to the other person. Why do we have to go and stipulate and enumerate yad biyad, right? Lomeli, what's the point? Shmamin amomin. To tell you that it's about monetary payment. So it's the extra expression, the extra phrase, which highlights this new meaning. So then why does the Torah continue enumerating regel b'regel, right? Lomeli, what's that for? What's that coming to teach us? You're right, it's just, you know, a mode of expression. Once it started with yad biyad, it just went through the listing. I did chsev yad biyad. So it says, kasav nami regel b'regel, without any real additional, you know, deeper meaning behind it. Abaye Omar. Abaye had a different source, that it's all about monetary payments. Asya meditant v'chizkiah. We learn it from the Brice taught in the Beis Medrash of Chizkiah. Tana v'chizkiah, ayin tachas ayin. Nefesh tachas nefesh. So the pasuk speaks about eye for an eye, a life for a life. And we learn from here that it's only, you know, one for one. V'loy nefesh v'ayin tachas ayin. Right? So, if he's responsible for hurting the other person's eye, right, we don't do two things to him. We don't apply punishment to the eye and also to the nefesh. Right? A person gets one punishment. Now, that proves that it's not to be taken literally. Why? If an eye for an eye means mamish, and we remove his eye, this can very well lead to the attacker getting punished a double punishment, his eye and his life. Why? The Bahadi the Averlay Nafkalin Shmose. Perhaps if we choose to remove his eye, this might actually result in killing him. That's not what the Torah meant. He's not meant to get double punishment. So apparently it's not literal, it's payment, which avoids this danger. Well, my question, what's the problem? We're not going to get to that point. Because we appraise him in advance. Right? We make an appraisal. We estimate whether he's able to tolerate this punishment. If he can tolerate it, abdinale, we do it to him. Otherwise, right? We know that his body is not going to hold up, he's going to die. When his eye is removed, if he can't tolerate, we don't do it. So who says we're ever going to get to this point of killing him? And you're right, and if we estimate that he can live through it, and we try it, and for some reason, accidentally he dies. It's not our issue. If he dies, he dies. Don't we have the same idea by lashes, by malchus of the bezin, which can very well kill a person if it's overdone, right? It's more than he can bear. Amdu, so the bezin evaluated his condition. And ultimately, somehow he died, you know, from the malchus, which we figured would be within his realm of bearing. Potter, so the Bezin is Potter, the Shnech is Potter, so here as well. You know, we can still establish a formula that works. Even if at times, accidentally, you can, you know, go overboard. So perhaps again it means literal, not monetary payments. We don't really have a clear proof from this pasuk. Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rav Amar, here's another source that it means monetary compensation, not literal punishment, physical punishment. Amar kro petza tachas petza. So the pasuk speaks about all different types of, you know, responses. We do the kviya tachas kviya, petza tachas petza, chabura tachas chabura, right? So what's the extra pasuk? Petza tachas petza, wound for a wound. Litain tsar b'mokim nezek, to tell you that even if he's going to pay for damages, we still add another layer of payment, tsar pain. So he has to compensate for the actual pain. Now, doesn't that prove that the attacker will not have to experience the same physical injury as the victim? Because otherwise, he's having the pain as well. Why should he have to pay for it? He's fully paid up. If it means mamish, just as the victim experienced tsar, lahai nami is late tsar, so the attacker is going through the tsar as well. So why should he have to go pay an additional? My kushi, what do you mean? Dil me ike inish demafanek is late tsar tfe. You know, tsar is subjective. It's relative to the situation, to the person. Maybe a person is more finicky and more sensitive, will have a greater pain experience. Ve'ika inish delay mefanek. A person doesn't have that sensitivity. Less late tsar, he doesn't have that much pain. And lot of kimin, what would be the difference? L'meis v'lei ha'ich d'beni beni. So the attacker has to give him that difference. Let's say the victim experienced, you know, we evaluate the tsar, that the victim experience was greater than the tsar of the attacker. Maybe we have to give him that difference. So again, there's no right. Rapapa mishmei the Rav Amar, he has another source. Amar krova rapi yirapi, same concept. Pasuk speaks about adding another layer of liability. He has to pay for the victim's doctor bills, his medicines. Litin refor makim nezek, even though he's paying for the nezek, he has to pay refor. Again, the same point. If we actually apply this physical einish to the attacker, well then why is he paying for the refor of the victim? He himself has to do refor for himself. So that's his suffering, that's his einish. Ki echid ha'i b'yasya, ha'i na'i b'yasya, just as he needs a doctor, he also needs a doctor. So he's getting, he's all paid up, he's getting his full punishment. My kushi, what do you mean? Dil me'ika, maybe there's a difference between the way he recovered and he recovered. Dil me'ika the solik bisri haya. Maybe in some cases the flesh, you know, heals quickly. Haya means quickly. Vika the loy solik bisri haya. And the victim never had to suffer for a much longer time. His deductibles were higher. Manafkimin, and the point would be, the attacker has to, you know, give him that difference. I have a source that all these liabilities are monetarily. Why? We learn from Xerashov, from the shoyer who attacked. By a man who attacked, ayin tachas ayin, eye for eye. By the shoyer, by the animal who inflicts injury and damage, it says shalim yishalim shar tachas asher. So we have the lashon tachas in both cases. We connect them. We say ma lahalan mamon afkan mamon, just like by the animal which attacks, you just pay. Likewise, by a person who says, "My chazes, the alphas, tachas, tachas, mishar." I understand that you have a kabbalah to make a gzeira shava. Who says we connect it to the shor, which results in monetary liabilities? Nay, live tachas, tachas, mi adam. Let's apply gzeira shava with tachas, tachas, but connect it instead of the shor to the shor. We connect it to the adam who attacks another person. And over there, it means literal. In the case of where a person murders somebody, right? A life for a life. So we have tachas in a literal context. Mal halan mamash, just like over there it means mamash, afkan mamash here as well. By injury it means mamash. Amri, the answer is done in nizakim. In nizakim we prefer connecting injuries to injuries, damages to damages, human damages to animal damages. Ve'in don in nizakim misa, as opposed to learning damages from murderers. Totally different, you know, realm. Adarab, just the opposite. Don and Adam, Adam. I prefer connecting a person who attacks and injures from a person who attacks and kills. Vein don and Adam, Ve'ema, rather than learning a person from an animal. Elam Rav Ashi, here's the source. Mitachas asher ina. We have the word tachas. When a person attacked, and over there, it's monetarily. When a person interacts with a woman forcefully, so he has to go and he's penalized financially. And we have the word tachas. So yolaf le'adam ye'adam, one azikim, one azikim. Here we go. So we connect a person who injures his friend, where it says tachas, so it's a person against a person, and it's injury-related experiences, we connect it to the tachas asherino, which likewise has both those elements, it's personal and it's injury. And just like over there, it's monetarily, here as well. Tanya Blazo Aimer, another source, ayin tachas ayin, mamash, actually, he seems to disagree. We literally respond in kind. Mamash. How can you suggest it means literal? You mean Rabbi Lazar doesn't hold on this whole Amud Gemara? Less like Chalani Tanoi, all these sources presented by the Tanoi? Rabbi, no, Leimar just means to say, Shein Shomonai Sekevet. Of course it means payment, but we don't appraise the victim like an Evet, right? Yesterday we learned based on Rashi, how do we evaluate the value of a person's injury and the value of the person? A person is priceless. We picture as though he would be an Eved, sold in the street, sold in the market. So Rabbi Lezer disagrees with that. So we treat him like, you know, we place a price tag on a free man. I mean, like, how are you going to evaluate his value? Since when does a regular free person have market value? All Rabbi Lezer meant to say was like this. Of course, it's about issuing payment. But... and of course, it's about evaluating based on market value. But who are we evaluating? So Reuven attacked Shimon, removed his eye. So the eye is gone. Now, are we looking at Shimon's devaluation or Reuven's devaluation if he would have had his eye removed? It's not about the victim, Ela b'mazik. So basically, the point is that Torah is allowing the mazik to compensate, to exchange his eye, which should have been removed. Should have been removed because he did this to his friend. Instead, he pays up. He pays the value. He sort of redeems his eye. So it's about the attacker's value. And that's how he gets closure. There was a story of a donkey. The kata yadaliyuka, who removed the hand of a child. Asal came to Rapapa Rashmo. So it came to Rapapa. Amar Allahu. So he told him, Zilu, Shumule, Abu Advarim. Okay, sit down and figure out all the four payments that the animal owner has to pay. Amali Rava, why only four? It should be five. Va'anan, chamisha tanan. We have five payments in the Mishnah. Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Shevas, and Boishas. Amali Levar, Menezek, Amin, of course, I meant on top of Nezek. Nezek plus four. Amali Rabbi, but it's an animal. An animal doesn't trigger these payments. V'chamayru, right? V'chamayru, any mishal menezek. When animal tax, it's only about nezek, not the additional payments. Amar Lus, he says, you're right. Zilu, shumale niske. You're right. Let's just, you know, figure out the nezek, and that's all it's going to pay. Says the Gemara of Hoka Avda Boy the Mishayme. But once again, in order to really get to the true, you know, value, you have to treat him like, you have to, you know, picture that he's an Eved being sold. You're right. Amar Luhu says, yeah, you're right. Again, Zilu Shamuka Avdo, based on Eved value. Amar Luhu Avodi Nukas, the father of his child, says, no, I don't want, you know, my child to be viewed as an Eved and taken to the appraiser. Loi Baina de Zilu Be Mosa, I don't want it's you know, degrading for my child. Let's skip the whole process. Amar Leis, they told him, it's not in your hand, it's the child's money. You're depriving the child of his payment. Amr, she says, don't worry, the gadol, when he'll get older, if I ask him, you know, I'll give him some, I'll pay him off from my own, in order to appease him and satisfy him without having to go through this whole degrading experience. Says the Gemara, who too, there was this shoyer, the Allah siyadah nukad, chewed off the hand of a child. Aslan went to Rava, they came to Rava, Amr, he told him, Zul, Shemu, Ka'abda, you have to pay based on Eved value. Amr, lay. So this was, of course, in Babel, right? That's where they lived. So they responded to him, "Bahamaru de Amar, you yourself taught us, kol anishin be'evet. Whenever the situation requires this, you know, slave, you know, evaluation, in which case it's not a clear value. You have to, you know, go and appraise it. Ein goyven oisiv be'bavel. These types of payments cannot be collected and imposed in Babel." I think more later we'll discuss, you know, why some things were done in Babel, why not. But ideally, these things should take place in Eretz Yisrael, because there they had the Dayanam Mumchim, the expert Dayanam, which were certified, which were Smuchim, and they can apply all the halachas of Choshe Mishpat, all monetary damages and payments. But not in Babel. They're limited in their ability to carry out these monetary judgments. So you don't do this in Babel. Amar Lusi says, you're right, Litzricha, the whole point of evaluating and determining value is the tafas. We don't impose the actual payment. The bezin doesn't, but if the victim decided to somehow grab, he got a hold of the attacker's money, he can hold on to it, and that's the point of setting value. So that if he grabbed his money and it corresponds to the value which was coming to him, he can keep it. So even though we don't get involved, but if he took the matter into his own hands, he happened to have his money, he can hold on to it, provided it's the proper amount. So Rava, who's saying this, is following his own opinion. Rava tells us like this. Some things we do in Babel, some things we don't. Niske yishur. A damage that occurred to a shur, bishur, which were inflicted by another shur, or viniske shur was damaged by Adam through a person. So these types of payments, goyvenes with Babel, we allow them to be collected in Babel as well. So we impose these judgments in Babel, provided these are injuries which occur to an animal. But injuries that occur to people, which aren't really common and are more complicated, niske adam, that happened through a person, but adam, or niske adam, injuries occurring to an adam through a shur, bishur, ain't goyven ha'isur b'bavel, these are not acted upon in bavel. Why? What's the difference between these two and these two? Ma'ishno niske adam b'adam, niske adam bishur, deloy, why don't we proceed with judging, injury cases pertaining to a person victim? The law, we can't do it. Elohim ba'inan v'leka. We need Elohim. That's the lashon of the pasuk describing the certified dayanim. We don't have that in Babel. So likewise, if an animal got injured, niske shor b'shor or b'shor ba'adam, nami. It also comes from the same source. Parshas Mishpatim over there, right? Elohim ba'inan, which requires certified dayanim. But like, we don't have that in Babel. So you must say that when a shur is harmed, so even we in Babel can carry out these judgments. Why? Although we're not really certified, because the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael are very pleased that we're their agents. We're sort of representing them. We're sort of like a sub bezin of their bezin under their authority. And we can carry out these things as well. We do it all the time. Let's say a person, admits to monetary liability, we can go and act upon it. Voice, people lend each other money. So these things are common occurrences, and we couldn't conduct business if we weren't going to be acting upon these things. So apparently we have the authority to do it. We're authorized by the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael, Seir as well. Adam ba'adam ba'adam b'shar nami. All these cases, shlichusai kavdina, let's carry it out because we're sort of representing the Bezna Eretz Yisrael, mitadahav, just like the standard cases are hidoas v'alvois. So again, what's the difference between a shor who was harmed or a person? Amri's answer was like this: Ki kavdina shlichusai. When do we carry out the shlichus? B'midi de kimlan lugavei. Things which are clear, which are set. B'midi de kimlan lugavei lavdina shlichusai. But damages which aren't so clear, they're not clear-cut situations, right? We need appraisals and evaluations. So there, these are complicated, and we're not authorized to deal with that. Says the Gemara again, what's the difference? Amri, so the response to this answer was shor b'shor, b'shor b'adam nami. So even when an animal is injured, whether it's through a shor or through a person, like lo gavei, on the spur of the moment, we can't necessarily peg an amount, a value. Ella pukhazai, we go and check out the marketplace, right? Heichem is davni tur b'shuk. We see what a shur is being sold today on the market, and based on that, we figure it out. So adam b'shur nami. Same with a personal injury. Pukhazai, heichem is davni avdi b'shuk. Let's go take a look and determine based on the market, the slave market, right? So that's the first question. What's the difference? V'oid, another point. Tashlum kefal. V'tashlum abava chamisha. Right? The double payment, the tashlum abava chamisha, four or five times as much which the ganav will pay, right? So these are pretty much set, determined amounts, right? The kitzi. So na'av shlichusai, why don't we do the shlichus there? And we all know that in Babel we never apply the twofold and fourfold, fivefold payments. These are knasos, these are fines. We don't do that in Babel. So it's all about determined and predictable amounts, so why not? Answers the Gemara, you're right. B'knasa le'abdina shlichusayu. When it involves fines and penalties, these aren't standard, you know, litigation cases, and you know, when it comes to these things, we were not given the authority. Well, okay, that explains the kefil and the abba b'chamisha, but adam b'adam. But let's say Reuven attacks Shimon. That's straightforward monetary payment. That's not knas. So let's carry it out. We only do it b'mosad shchicha, regarding common occurrences. Because otherwise, like we said, things will just, you know, community life will just fall apart, right? But adam b'adam le'shchicha. How often does a person attack somebody? You know, so that's not something which is common. Le'abdina shchichusayu. We're not authorized to do that. Says the Gemara. The Bach takes out Pagam. So basically, embarrassment, personal embarrassment. Unfortunately, that's something which is common. So when it comes to that type of you know, payment and compensation, we should do that even in Bavel. Amri's response was like this. Hachinami is true. We do. There was a story where a person inflicted grave embarrassment on his friend, and Rav Papa went ahead and compelled him to pay 400 zuz, even in Babel. Well, says the Gemara, that didn't really hold up. Well, less of the Rav Papa, we don't hold to that Rav Papa. Why? The Shalach Rav Chizda, remember Rav Chizda sent a response to Rav Nachman, the Shalach Lei. So he asked him how much, you know, and Rav Nachman responded, Chizda, Chizda, how can you do this? Knosa, Kamagbis, Babel, you're trying to collect these payments in Babel? So apparently, even boishes, which is pretty much you know, direct compensation for the experience, he called it knas. Like more in a minute, we'll explain why. I mean, why is it called a fine? Eloki avdinish tichosai. Rather, the point is like this: in Bava, we only act upon things which are common and involve monetary loss, literal monetary loss, real damages. B'mosad shchicha, something which is common, v'isbechasar and kis, and involves monetary loss. Avamosad shchicha, but let's say you know, you have something which is common, right? Let's like boishes, right? But it's not reflective of an actual monetary loss, right? It's an emotional grievance, but you know, it's not v'isbechasar and kis, or inami the other way around, mosad lo shchicha, something which is not common, v'isbechasar and kis, even though it involves monetary damage, like a case where a person was injured by another person or by a shor, that's not something which is shchiach, even though it's a chesaron case, but it's not shchiach. So in all these situations, unless it perfectly qualifies, it's common and it's a literal damage, and right, which are sort of bread and butter situations, clear cut situations. Anything more complicated than that, lo yavdin shtichosai, we're not empowered to do that. And the Gemara explains, hilkach ba'adam ba'adam nami. So therefore, in a case where Reuven attacked Shimon, afagav is b'chesaron kis, it involves chesaron kis, but since kiven lo shchicha, it's not something which is common, lo yavdin shlichusai, we don't do it in Bavel, and likewise boishes, embarrassments, afagav the shchicha, even though it's something which is unfortunately common, but again, it doesn't have the other component, kiven less b'chesaron kis, lo yavdin shlichusai. Okay, that pretty much covers everything. So anything except for real, you know, bread and butter situations, hoidois, halvois, predictable, set, you know, situations, or, you know, damages occurring to property and to animals. So those are the only things we do in Bavel. Asks the Gemara, okay, really? Vishar, Vishar governed by Bavel? Vishar attacks another Shur, we act upon it even in Bavel? Vamar Rabba tells us, Shur Shehizik Ein, we don't do it. Ein go, even I see by Bavel. Now the Azik Man, who do you attack? Even with the Azik Adam, you attack the person. My Iri Yashar the Azik Adam, why discuss an animal attacking a person, which is really uncommon? Cite even a greater chiddush, something which is even a bit more common, and we still won't do it in Bavel. I feel adam da azik adam nami in gavinis Bavel. Even a person attacking another, we don't do it in Bavel. El pshita da azik shur. So apparently, when we spoke about a shur being mazik, it's a shur attacking another shur. Uktani, and Rava tells us ein gavin oisib Bavel. We don't do it in Bavel. Why not? It's shchiach, animals, right? And chesar and kis, it's got all the qualities of that qualify the payment in Bavel. So the Gemara Amri, the answer was like this: Hasam betam hacha b'muad. In a muad situation, where the shor is habitually doing this, so it's pretty much straightforward. You pay it in Bavel. Rava was speaking about a sharatam, first, second time around, where he's, you know, not really liable. And Rashi brings the Gemara back on Daf Tesvav. You recall the Gemara speaks about Palga Niska Knosa. So the Chatzi Nezek, the 50% payment that the Tam pays, is not it's not considered actual you know, mumming. It's not literal compensation, it's a knas. Because really, you know, it's just his first, second time. He's really, he shouldn't really have to pay this. It's just a knas. We fine him in order to ensure compliance. So, once again, if it's a knas, that doesn't apply in Bavel, right? Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Ba'amar Rava in Mor B'Bavel. But Rava told us that it's not possible for a shar to get to the point of Mor. He can't graduate. Because if you don't have the Tam phase in Bavel, you can't get to the Mor's phase. If you're not phase one, you're not phase two. Amri, the answer was the Yad Hasam. Oh, it was a strange case. The animal became a Mor in Eretz Yisrael. Vaisulach, and then he was imported to Bavel. So you can have a shar Mor in Bavel. Vamusl Shchichi. Hold it, but this is very uncommon. And just told us, Umusl Shchichi, something which is not commonly found. Ha'amris, he just told me, we don't do it in Bavel. The Asra Baran the Hasam. Okay, let's change the case slightly. The animal attacked once and twice, and the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael, who are certified, actually came to Bavel. They were here, they were visiting, and they were the ones who applied the Mu'ad title to the animal, because they can sort of bring him through the process of Tam and then to Mu'ad, because it's a knas, they're empowered to do so. That's what happened. That's how you can have a situation where a shayr reached, he achieved the Mu'ad status even in Bavel, because it was processed by the Dayanim of Eretz Yisrael, happened to be here. Well, how common is that? It's a very unusual type of circumstance. So once again, we're back to the question. It's not a common thing. You've just told me that when it comes to uncommon occurrences, we don't act upon it in Bavel. So bottom line is, how does a shur have to pay when he attacked another shur? Says the Gemara, you know how? Eloki Kama Rabbah. Rabbah tells us that you can have a shur attacking a shur, triggering payment even above all. B'shem v'regel. Oh, instead of using his horns, which runs into all kinds of complications with Tam and Mu'ad. No, straightforward. He stepped on something. He shoved. He body shoved. Shein v'regel. Shein, he chewed, he ate. Do Mu'ad v'tchilasanin. These are Mu'ad from day one. These are ordinary, typical animal functions, right? And if he steps on something, or right, he eats something, he pays 100%. It's a Mu'ad. So these are Mu'adim. These are common. Chesar and kiss. Bingo. So in Bavel, we collect for these things. Okay, let's summarize the Shtikl Gemara. Bottom line is, we have many, many sources that a chayvel b'chaveiro will not be responded to physically, literally, in kind. Rather, it's about monetary compensation. In Bavel, we only collect when the situation is classified as shchiach and chesar and kis. Says the Gemara, and not a knas, yeah. Fine. Tsar, so how do we evaluate actual nezek? That's about, you know, market value of the evet. What about tsar? Inflicted pain and damage. He has to pay for that too. Kavoy b'shvud b'masr v'chu. Says the word tsar, shalei b'makim nezek mishtalim. Mantana. The Mishnah indicates to us that even if he hurt him without leaving behind, you know, physical mark, he burnt him on his fingernail, so he didn't actually physically injure him, he just hurt him. You have to pay for that as well. How do you know that? Who says this triggers payment? Maybe only when there's physical damage. Mantana, who's the author of this halacha in the Mishnah? Omer Rabbi ben Azai, it must be ben Azai, and not Shitas Rabbi. There's a machlokes in this regard. Ben Azai, the Sani Rabbi Omer. So before we begin, there's a pasuk. Kviya tachas kviya. A burn for a burn. Petza tachas petza, a wound for a wound. Chabur tachas chabur, once again, a wound for a wound. So, what do we learn from this pasuk? Like this. Rabbi Yemi, kviya nemra tchila. Benazir Emer, Chabur Nemer Tchila. What does this mean? What's the machleik is? What's going on? Rabbi Savar, Kviya de Les Bechabur Mashma. The words Kviya, Kviya Tachas Kviya, a burn without a visible wound. That's what it means. So you pay for that as well. Because you pay for pain. Comes the pasuk back and says like this. Kasa Rachmana, no. Chabura tachas chabura. Chabura is something which leaves behind an actual, you know, a physical wound, a physical mark. Chabura means leguya Allah, the kviya, to reveal, to explain, to expound, and translate for us. That although it said kviya, don't think it means just pain. The kviya de isba chabura in, only if it comes along with visible injury, then you pay. Eloi loi, but otherwise not. So according to Rebbe, the second part of the pasuk, Chabura, reveals to us, explains to us, that it's all about pain with injury. Otherwise you don't pay. Uben Azar Shavar, he goes the other way. Kviya, the starting point of the pasuk, Kviya, means the isba chabura mashma, a burn with a wound. Kos rachmana chabura, comes the pasuk and says, Chabura, no. Only Chabura means with a wound. But the words kviya at the outside of the pasuk meant a burn without a wound, and even that you pay for, because you're paying for a pain. Ligluya Allah, to reveal to us that the words kviya, the kviya means the less b'chabura, without a wound, you still pay for a pain. So Ren Azay is the one who says yichay for tsar even when there's no nesek. Maskel Rapapa. Rapapa asked on this explanation, the way we explain the braisa, resulting in Ben Azai being the Shita of our Mishnah, which was composed by Rabbi HaKadosh. So it's a little bit odd that Rabbi HaKadosh would present an anonymous Mishnah, you pay for pain even without injury, when he himself disagreed, right? Maskel Rav Papa Adar, go the other way around. If Chum is stavar of anything, let's reverse the opinions. Let's switch the names and explain their words differently, in a way which will result in Rabbi requiring tsar payment even when there's no nezek. Rabbi Omer kviya nemer tchila. The pasuk begins with kviya. So he holds savar kviya de isba chabura mashma. Kviya typically comes with a burn, comes with a wound. I would think only then do you pay. No, kasa rachmana chabura. So pasuk comes back and says chabura, to tell you the chabura involves injury. This tells us that kviya mentioned earlier, the less b'chabur, even without injury, you pay for pain. That's Rabbi Shita. Ben Azai disagrees. Ben Azai Omer, chabur namar tchila, that the lashon chabura, the beginning of the pasuk, will ultimately mean only with an injury, because he holds savar kviya the less b'chabur mashma, and the pasuk begins with kviya means even without a wound, just a burn. Kos Rachmana Chabura. Pasuk comes back with Chabura, the Gluya Lo, the Kviya, to tell you that Kviya means only when they're both together. The Isba Chabura in, only then do you pay. Eloi, without injury, Eloi, you don't pay for pain. Vamaskona Kaimi. And when Rabbi Ben Azai said their formulas, you know, Rabbi says Kviya Nemrat Chila, Ben Azai Chabura, means that's ultimately going to be the real meaning of the Pasuk. After we sort of work out all the words of the Pasuk, ultimately, according to Rabbi, Kviya means a burn without injury, just for pain, and Ben Azai disagrees. Inami, another way to learn, the kuli almo kviya, the word kviya means with or without physical injury. Bain the isba chabura, a burn with an injury. Bain the less b'chabura, without an injury. Mashma. Can mean either way. So what's the machlekes about? V'acha, v'chlal uprat hamaruchakim mezemezek mifsaki. The pasuk begins kviya. Kviya can mean with or without injury. Klal, a general term. Pain with or without physical repercussions, right? And then we have chabura, which sort of specifies via physical injury. That's a klal followed by a prat. Problem is, it's not immediately followed because there are words in between. Typically, a klal and prat are right next to each other. That presents the klal and prat formula. But here, we have kviya. Then we have the words petza tachas petza, which sort of come in between the kviya and the chabura. So the klal and prat, we're speaking with their sort of distance from each other. That's the point of the machlekes. Can we sort of connect them into one formula or not? Rabbi says, no, you cannot connect them. Ain't done in oisei b'chal prat. We can't apply this formula. And therefore, we don't have to limit it. We don't have to say the kviya is only when it conforms to the specific description further down the pasuk chabura, which means with injury. No, even a burn without injury. When azay savar, no, we connect them to one formula, to one package, and the prat, the specific expression, which is chabura, which denotes physical injury, is really coming to expound upon and explain and detail to us what kviya, which is the general expression in the beginning of pasuk, had in mind. Only if it pertains to physical injury. So bottom line, only physical injury, visible injury, triggers payment. Asks the Gemara, according to Rebbe, he pays whether or not there's physical injury. So why does the pasuk even mention physical injury? Why didn't that extra words? Once we know from the word kviya that it means either with or without physical injury, you're always going to pay. So what's the point of the words chabura? Chabura lamali. Well, don't mean you say him to add another layer of payment. Not only for the tzar, but if there's a chabura involved, you pay tzar and nezek. Okay, bottom line is, chevel b'chaveri pays up. He pays nezek, which is based on the victim's market value, according to Blaz of the attacker's market value. Interesting, dissenting opinion there. And then we have all these payments, Nezek, Tsar, Ripu, Sheves, and Boishes. And according to our Mishnah, Tsar is whether or not there's physical impression. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.